I'll tell you, tonight I came to share a word with you. It's called One Word from God is All You Need, Part 2. A couple Sunday nights ago, we shared the first part of this. I'm not going to repeat very much of that first message. If you feel you need that, go back and get that. It wasn't this past Sunday night. This past Sunday night, of course, Pastor Rob ministered powerfully on the subject of unity. And this past Sunday morning, Pastor Hagen ministered powerfully on baptism. But two Sunday nights ago, I spoke the first part of this message, and I'm going to repeat very little of that here tonight. I'm just going to pick up basically from where I left off there. One word from God is all you need. I will repeat my opening illustration. I opened with a picture of my grandson, our grandson, Tony and I. This is our grandson, Kendrick. This is, he shares a good part of my name. This is Kendrick William Ray. And he's a bouncing, bubbly 3-year-old. And he was a premature baby when he was born. I remember holding him in the palm of my hand. And he's just a big running, bouncing, rolling, wrestling, full of joy. And Tony and I love watching him. And I tell you, I think Tony actually took this picture and she hung it. She has lots of pictures on the wall in our home. And the reason I bought it to show you and to start the last time I spoke on this subject and this time is because he was over, we were babysitting him, and he was bouncing around having a good time, and all of a sudden he looked up on the wall and he saw his picture. And when he saw his picture, he said, "Oh, that's me." He said, "That's me." And I was sitting in my easy chair. He came over and got me. He said, "Papa, Papa, come here, come here." And he pulled my hand and he brought me over and he said, "Papa, Papa, look." And he said, "That's me." I said, "Yes, Kendrick, that's you up there." He said, "That's me." And then he went and got his brother. He said, "Bubba, Bubba, come here, Bubba, Bubba." And he showed him. He said, "That's me. That's me right there." And he said, "Yeah, that's you." And when his mom and dad came to pick him up later that night, he couldn't wait. He took both of them over and said, "That's me. That's me right there." And we just laughed, Tony and I. We went to bed laughing at our grandson saying, "That's me, that's me, that's me." But when I started preparing this message, I could sense something like that, that God was saying to remind people of, because whenever you and I see ourselves in the light of his word, when we see ourselves in the light of something he's promised us in the holy word of God, when we suddenly begin, the scripture is powerful on its own, but when we suddenly make scripture personal, and when we stand, maybe you stand in need of healing, and then you see in the word 1 Peter 2:24, or you read Matthew 8:16 and 17, or you read Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and you see Exodus 15, 26, and then you say, that's me in that scripture. I'm the healed of the Lord. When you realize, hey, I'm in need, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory, and all of a sudden the scripture becomes personal to you, and you say, that's me, in Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of my needs. That's me right there. When you begin to see yourself in the light of God's holy written word, I tell you, the word will work for you every single time. So Kendrick was preaching a sermon without even knowing it, out of the mouths of babes. That's me. Hey, that's me. One word from God is all you need tonight. I said one word from God. God has always got a word for his children. I said God's got a word for every single one of us. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what circumstance, what unsolvable problem you may be facing. God has a word for you. It only takes one word. Whether he says it in one word or a few words, it doesn't matter. One word will solve all of our problems. You know, with one word, Jesus transferred his authority to the church. In Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, "Go, therefore," he meant go with my authority, "make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Lo, I'm with you always." But he used that word "go," and with that word "go," that one word, he transferred his authority to the church. Over in the book of Matthew 14, and there we see down at verse 27 and 28, he gave Peter the authority to walk on water. Matthew 14, 28, with one word, the word "come." He told Peter, "Come." And Peter crawled over the edge of that boat, defied the laws of buoyancy, and walked on the water with one word. With one word, Jesus told the devil to get lost. He told him in Matthew chapter 4, he said, go. And Satan had no choice but to leave. All you need tonight is one word from God. Whether God speaks to you with one word or with a phrase, it really doesn't matter. But when God speaks, things happen. And so tonight, really what I want to talk about is, when I say one word from God is all you need, I mean this. One rhema word from God is all you need. A rhema word. What you need is a rhema word from God. What is a rhema word? Thayer's dictionary says it this way. It's an utterance. It's that which is or has been uttered by a living voice. It's the declarations of one's mind expressed in words. So God takes his knowledge of our thoughts about our situation that we're going through, and he puts his words that he's already spoken down in our heart and in our mouth. And when we take that living word and place it in our heart and in our mouth, and then we speak that word, it changes our circumstances, changes situations and scenarios. A rhema word, thank God, a rhema word is different than the logos of the word. Thank God for the logos of the word. We need the logos of the word, and we need a rhema word. Glory to God. But the logos of the word is all of Scripture. It is all of the power of Scripture. And we know this: Scripture is inerrant. Scripture is alive. Scripture is the Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, it's the word is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing. The word has a power and an anointing all its own. And so the logos of the word is for our doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction and whatever we need. Every promise God's made us, exceeding great, magnificent promises from the logos of the word. Thank God for the logos of the word. We need the logos of the word. The logos is more like a 12-gauge shotgun. When you rack it and shoot it, it hits everything. The word applies to everything and every specific situation. But a rhema word is an active word. It's an immediate word. It is spoken by God, listen now, to an individual. A rhema word is an active word. It's an immediate word. It's spoken by God to an individual to cover some need or some circumstance that they may be going through. When I say a rhema word is an active word, it means it's a live round. It means a rhema word is the word, the anointed word of God is ready to explode. When God gives you a rhema word, it's like holding on to a grenade and then you pull the pin. You understand what would happen if I had a grenade and then I pulled a pin and then I threw the grenade out at you? What would you do? You'd probably take off running. Why? It's active. If you see a pin pulled out of a grenade, you know that thing is active. And you know it's just a matter of time before that thing explodes. It's just a matter of time before that thing goes off. And see, a rhema word is like a live grenade. And what activates it, what pulls the pin, is faith. Faith activates the power of a rhema word. And when you begin to release your faith in a rhema word that God has spoken to you, it will explode in your life. It will come to pass. So a rhema word carries the idea of that quickened word down in our spirit. It's like Luke 24, where Cleopas and the other brother said, later on, after Jesus had appeared, to walked with them 7 miles along the way, and then later when he revealed himself to them and they were recalling their time walking on the road, one of them said, when he shared the scriptures with us, our hearts were burning down on the inside. It's the power of a live rhema word, an active word, and that'll happen in our spirits when we get a rhema word. It's a word that's been made to stand out and come alive to you. You have a situation you're going through, a circumstance you're going through, and God will send you a rhema word, and that word, he'll take some part of the scripture and make it come alive to you. That word will come off the pages of scripture. God will supernaturally make you aware of a scripture that comes alive in your heart. And why does he do that? So that we can claim that word. so that we can stand on that word, so that we can walk in victory in whatever area it is. And so a rhema word. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. You'll notice Ephesians chapter 6 because that's part of the chapter on the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, New American Standard. Ephesians 6, verses 16 and 17. It says this: in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Here it is now, which is the Word of God. So that where it says there, the Word of God. If you haven't circled that in your Bible, circle that, the Word of God. Circle the word, because that word, pun intended, that word is the Greek word rhema. So essentially the scripture is saying, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. The rhema of God. Over in the Gospel of Matthew, go with me to the Gospel of Matthew, if you will. Of course, you know, when we go to chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, then we come into that situation where Jesus has been led of the Spirit, and he's been fasting for 40 days, and the Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. And we know when the tempter comes at Jesus, he gives him three specific temptations. And with each temptation, Jesus speaks back to him, not a random word. Jesus speaks a specific rhema word back at the devil. Let me show you what I mean here. No doubt you've read this passage many times. Matthew 4, those first 10 verses, we'll start at 1. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Verse 2, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. Verse 3, the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. I'll say this again. You know, here, what we read there at verse 3, the enemy asking Jesus, if you're the Son of God, the very last verse of chapter 3, we're in the early verses of chapter 4, what we're reading, but the very last verse of chapter 3 of Matthew 3:17, it's God the Father saying to his Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So with the last verse of Matthew chapter 3, God confirms and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And here in the first few verses of chapter 4, it's the enemy challenging the very thing that's true about Jesus. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son. What do you mean if you are the Son? God wouldn't have had to confirm it that way, but God had just confirmed it. And the very thing that was true about Jesus is the very thing that Satan tried to lie to him to get him to doubt. And the very thing that's true about you is the very thing Satan will try to lie to you about. I said, you the blessed of the Lord, and Satan will try to make you think you're the cursed of the Lord. No, he ain't got no curses. I said, the Lord has put his blessing on you. And you can't curse what God has already blessed. I said, you're the healed of the Lord. But he'll try to make you think that you're not the healed of the Lord. I said, you are the prospered of the Lord. But he'll try to make you think that you're just as broke as you want to be. I said, the very thing that's true about you, the enemy will try to lie to you and I to get us to try to doubt the very thing that's true. And if he did it to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, you can expect him to try to do it to you and I. But Jesus was ready with a specific rhema word. And every time Satan came at him, Jesus hit him back with a rhema word. And so we see here let me read just a little bit more down here, because he said, verse 3, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word. See it there? Every word. That means rhema. Every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's the word rhema again. Matthew 4:4 is using the word rhema again. I'm going to read it again. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every rhema word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus wasn't just saying things that were fun or cute or nice sayings. He was quoting specific scriptures that had been quickened to him for this specific situation. So what Jesus is quoting there is Deuteronomy 8:3. What he quotes here in Matthew 4:4 is directly what he had been meditating in. You can tell what he had been studying and meditating in because the Holy Spirit quickens to him right there, Deuteronomy 8:3. Then what does the devil do? He takes it to the next level. He tries to twist Psalm 91. So the devil quotes scripture at Jesus, but he quotes it out of context. He tries to get Jesus to jump off. You know, he wanted him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, and he's always trying to get Christians to do something that is something God never told them to do. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen here. He takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and says, Psalm 91 says that God will catch you if you fall, essentially. He'll send his angels. His angels will catch you before you fall. Satan quoted that scripture out of context. And a lot of times, Christians run off with scripture out of context, acting independently of the Father. Here's the thing. Jesus knew the Father never told him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. So Jesus refused to act independently of God, and he hit Satan with another rhema word. And you can see this in verse 7. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And Jesus was powerfully quoting a rhema word from Deuteronomy 6:16. That's Deuteronomy 6:16. It's a rhema word that had been quickened to him by the Holy Ghost. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost. That rhema word was quickened to him by the Holy Spirit. And finally, that last temptation of the enemy saying, you know, verse 8 again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, their glory, and said to him, all these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, verse 10, Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And here Jesus quotes another powerful rhema word from Deuteronomy 10:20. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. What are you saying, Brother Bill? I'm saying, just like it says in Proverbs 25:11, the right word at the right time is like precious gold and silver. And God's got the right word for you. He's got a word for you, my brother and sister. All you need tonight is one word from God. All you need tonight is to hear from the Holy Spirit, to let him quicken a scripture down to in your heart. And if you'll grab that word and stand on that word, God will lead you through whatever situation you may be facing. I remember several years ago getting ready to go on vacation with the kids, and I booked some plane tickets, and several of us were going, and my son had one of his friends going, and I booked their tickets and got their tickets on, and I was checking something, and so I thought, oh, I'll go back and book mine. I booked everybody's ticket but mine. And within 5 minutes, I went back to book my ticket, and I was trying to book the same flight. Well, I got the same flights out. I got on the same flight. But coming back, within 5 minutes, the flight was sold out. And there was another flight going, it would be coming home. These were for the return flight ticket. So I was going to have to take another plane, and so I booked the other ticket. But I wanted to fly with my family, and I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I ask you to help me. Man, I made a mistake. I should have just booked them all at the same time. I didn't know that thing would sell out like that. Should have just booked them all at the same time. And I never forget, I had a peace come on me. And then I felt Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. And it was as if the Lord was telling me, don't worry about it. And then I could sense this. It was a popular phrase that had gone around at that time, but I could sense that down in my heart too. It was this, nothing shall be missing and nothing shall be broken. And so when I went and read that scripture, Philippians 4:6-7, it just jumped off the page to me. And I grabbed onto it. And I just said, Lord, I just trust your word. I'm not going to worry about a thing. And so we went, you know, I called several days before we left, called the airline. I must have called them 3 or 4 times, trying to see if something had opened up on the flight, if they could switch me from the one flight to the other. I'll pay the difference, whatever it is. They said the flight's completely sold out. So we got down there on vacation, and when we landed on vacation, then I went over to the counter and said, hey, could you switch me over to the other flight? They said, that flight sold out. And so we had a wonderful vacation. So John Paul, he was young. He asked me, he said, Dad, are you flying back with us? And I said, well, all I know is nothing shall be missing, nothing shall be broken. I'm not going to worry about it, son. He said, okay. He looked at me like, what in the world does that mean? But anyway. But I just clung to the peace that I had and the scripture, that rhema word that God directed specifically to me. And so we got ready to come back, and we went to the airport. And so we're going at 2 different gates now. So I walked with the family over to their gate, and I asked the representative there, is there any room available on this flight? Want to fly with my family back? She said, oh, no, flight completely sold out. I said, okay, no problem. Went on down to my gate. And their flight was leaving ahead of mine. And so got to the gate, waited for them to call my flight, got on the flight. They called, said we could go down, whatever zone you in, went down there. And so we got on the plane, and the flight attendant said, hey, how'd you guys get on the flight? This flight has been canceled. Didn't you hear that? And we said, oh, no, they called us to come down. She said, oh, no, there's a mechanical problem. This flight is canceled. So turn around. You're going to have to deplane. Turn around. Just go back out. They'll figure out something for you later. Go back out. You have to get off the plane. So when I got off the plane, I ran all the way back down to the other, you know, ticket counter. And the door was closed. The plane was out there, but the door was closed, you know. And the ticket agent, she was just counting up something. She was looking confused. And I said, did that flight go out full? And she said, well, that's what I'm trying to determine. And so she counted again a couple times. And she said, sir, I miscounted. There's one flight. There's one seat. Do you want it? I'll call the captain. It's one seat left. I said, yeah, I want it. And so she called the captain. They opened the doors back up, and I got on the plane. They all said, well, how'd you get on this plane? And I said, nothing shall be missing, and nothing shall be broken. Because God had given me a rhema word to cover that specific situation. I wish I had one amen in here. I said, God knows exactly what you need. But so often we won't take the time. We go every place but the word. People will chase around after a person. They'll go every place but the word. And what we really need to do is really master and re-listen to that series of messages Pastor Hagin gave during Winter Bible. Because it was powerful truth for the body of Christ. You don't mean, thank God for a man, thank God for a woman, but you don't need, all you need is God and his word. And so, I tell you, God can give you a rhema word in any and every situation and circumstance. I remember one time I was selling a car. It was a Mazda Protege, a little tiny car. And I was going to, my dad, he had leased this Toyota Camry. This is years ago. And I was thinking I could give that Camry to Stephen, you know. He was about to get his license, and my dad had leased this car. He barely drove the car. And after a 3-year lease, the car was like brand new. My dad hadn't gone nowhere. And so I said, Dad, why don't I just buy the car out of the lease? And he said, okay, whatever you want to do. And so I, you know, got the financing and bought the car out of the lease. And so I flew. I was going to fly to Jersey one way and then drive the car back out here. And then that became Stephen's first car. Well, when I was praying about it, oh man, God gave me a scripture and a word deep down in my heart about selling the other car, because I wanted to sell this other car, this Mazda, and offset the cost of the car I was getting that Stephen was going to get. And so I was praying about it, and God gave me a word. He gave me a word and an idea with that word. And so Philippians 4:19 began to burn in my spirit and lifted off the pages of scripture. And then I felt this down in my belly. Go over to the Mazda dealership and ask them to sell the car for you. 4th of July weekend was coming up. And so I acted on that. I went over to the Mazda dealership, and the guy told me this. He said, we don't want to sell this car. I got 6 of them. He said, the same year as your Mazda, I got 6 of those cars, every color. He said, so I don't want to add another car like that. These are used cars. He said, so Mr. Ray, take your car and sell it yourself. And I said, I'm not in the car business. I don't know anything about the car business. Y'all are in the car business. Joe, please just sell it for me. I'll give you a commission, whatever, on it. And he said, nobody's buying these cars. He said, what I'm trying to tell you is, I got six of them. Nobody wants that car. So they're not going to buy yours. I said, I tell you what. Why don't you just take it? The 4th of July weekend is coming up. Why don't you just take it for over the weekend? He said, Mr. Ray, now, look, they're not going to buy the car on 4th of July weekend. And I said, if you would just take it for the weekend, I'll come and get it. I got to go to Jersey, but when I come back, I'll come and get it if it doesn't sell. And he said, okay, but I'm telling you, I got six cars like that that ain't going to sell. I said, okay, I appreciate it. And so I flew to Jersey, got the car. I was in Richmond, Indiana, headed back here, when I got a call from the Mazda dealership. And he said, I don't believe it, but this car sold. He said, your car? He said, none of my cars sold, but your car sold. I said, thank you, Lord, for giving me a rhema word. When God gives you a rhema word, a rhema thought, I tell you, he'll give you a word to accompany that thought. And if you'll take that word, and if you'll stand on that word, if you'll hold that word like a dog with a bone, if you'll squeeze it, not let go of that word. I said, God will lead you straight to victory every single time. God's got a rhema word just for you. Remember this. If something that you feel God told you does not come to pass, remember this, it is not God's fault. Now, let me just duck a couple of tomatoes. If you feel God told you something, but it does not come to pass, I said it is not God's fault. You know how I know that? Well, because his word tells us in Numbers 23:19, God cannot lie. His word tells us in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, God cannot lie. His word tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that God cannot lie. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar. If there's something goes wrong, we got to look on our end. And if something is wrong, there's typically four possibilities here. Listen to me now. Because we got a lot of people who get hurt when they feel like, I got a word, and then they feel like, well, I don't know what happened, and something didn't happen right. And then they get upset, and they lose their passion for Jesus, and they don't want to come to church, and they don't want to go to Bible study. Listen, if something doesn't go the way you thought, examine these four areas. Number one, you may be out of his timing. So often, sometimes people get in the will of God, but they negate the timing of God. I hope you'll hear me. And your issue may be an issue of timing. And if your issue is an issue of timing, then you're going to need patience. We need patience after we've done the will of God, the scripture says. And so it might be an issue of timing. And if it's timing, you're going to have to be patient. Number two, if you feel like something God spoke to you hasn't come to pass, you may be out of his will. And the best thing you can do is run smack dab as fast as you can into the center of God's will. I said, get away from the corners. I said, get away from the edges. Get back full, complete in the middle of God's will. I said, amen. Get under the umbrella. Number three, if something's not going exactly the way you thought, listen, it could be because we've been hopelessly unfaithful. And when people are hopelessly unfaithful, they will hinder what God says coming to pass and how fast it comes and that it comes. When people are hopelessly unfaithful. And so what's the remedy there?
Repent.
Repentance, right? And then number four, if something doesn't happen the way you thought, it could be that we have simply missed it. I'll dodge a couple of tomatoes. A rotten potato, and I got a tomato over here. It could be because we've missed it. Can I ask you, is there anybody here listening to me that has never missed it other than Brother Bill? I admit, if I could raise my fourth leg, I could raise that and say, yes, I've missed it. But I thank God for his mercy and his love. And if you're living in a human body, sometimes you're going to make mistakes. And can I tell you this? Sometimes you're going to miss it. But don't let that discourage you. Just repent, get right back in line. Go right back to listening to God. I said, his mercies are new every morning. I said, God is rich in mercy. Just get right back in line. I said, amen. Don't get discouraged. If you missed it, that's okay. Everybody misses it sometime. Just get right back in line. Just repent and get right back in line. But prepare your heart to receive an on-time word from God. Listen, as I wind this down, I want you to say something with me. Say this with me. Father, make your word come alive to me. When you speak, I'm ready now to listen. Yeah. Your word is living and active. Well, tell him and mean it. Your word determines my thoughts and my actions and values. Your word is my final authority. I said, all you need is one word from God which will settle every question, which will resolve every fear, which will remove every hurt. You know, in Isaiah 41:10, the scripture says this. God says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my right hand. But someone says, I feel so alone. I feel so afraid. But God just said to you in Isaiah 41:10, don't fear, for I'm with you. But someone says, I'm anxious and I'm nervous about my situation that I'm going through. But God said right there in Isaiah 41:10, do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Still somebody says, I don't have the strength to go on. But God says in Isaiah 41:10, I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Someone still says, I feel disconnected, like I don't belong. But God says in Isaiah 43:1, but now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Someone says, I feel like I'm going under. I'm overwhelmed by my circumstance. I'm going through the fire. But God says in his word, when you pass through the waters, Isaiah 43:2, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. Someone says, I've been around a long time and I've never seen things this bad. But God says in Psalm 37:25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, David said, nor his seed begging bread. Someone says, I feel like I'm under a curse, but God says, you can't curse what I've already blessed. Over and over again, whatever you need tonight, God has got a rhema word for you. Stand up on your feet, my brother and sister. God's got a rhema word for you. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to your people. And Father, you see every one of us. You know every one of our situations, circumstances, and scenarios. But Father, I know you sent me here to remind people you've got a word for them. You've got a word. And if they'll get in the word, they'll find a word that addresses their specific case and situation. So help people tonight. Father, heal people, touch people. Every place they hurt, minister to your people. And we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You want prayer tonight? You want somebody to agree with you tonight? Well, that's what these prayer warriors are down here for. If you're a lady, come to the ladies. If you're a guy, come to the guys. And you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. You'll be here Sunday morning, 9 o'clock hour, School of the Bible, and then a power-packed message Sunday morning at 10 a.m. right here, Rhema Bible Church. We love you. God bless you.